And the security comes, you again. And he said, what's in the box? He said, it's sodas. Then the security guard said, no, I don't believe you, just open it. So the security guard opens the box and it's the sodas again. So third day he does the same thing, the fourth day he does the same thing. And the fifth day, and while he was pushing the wheelbarrow, the security guard comes again and say, okay, what's in your wheelbarrow again? He says, it's a box. And the security guard says, I don't believe you. I think you are stealing something. Just be honest and tell me. I won't report anybody. Just tell me what you are doing. And he says, okay, let me be honest with you. I'm stealing wheelbarrows. Isn't life sometimes like that? You are preoccupied with a lot of things. Yes. You miss the big picture. Yes. Isn't that right? Right? So, what do we need? What do we need? So, we need, you and I need, we need insight. Insight is looking at something through a microscope. We need foresight. Foresight is like looking something through the telescope. And we need oversight, like being in a helicopter and looking down where you live. You see it differently. So we need insight, we need foresight, we need oversights. Now, who has insight? Who has foresight? Who has oversight? Only God. Only God has insight, foresight, and oversight. That's why it is important for us to tune in into God, and that we can gain God's perspective, a little bit more insight, a little bit of oversight, a little bit more foresight. And while we are doing that, then God gives us hindsight. Which we desperately need. In other words, we learn from life, to learn from the past, and we believe that God has it. If we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. So I'll say it once, you can repeat it. If we change the way we look at things, if we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. Okay, I will say it again, then you can repeat it, okay? If we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. Okay. So I want to encourage you today where to look in five directions. I think Pastor Dave last week talked about help, like looking up, right? The psalmist says, so my first point is look up. Okay, the Psalm 121, the psalmist wrote this. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I look up. I look at the mountains. We have a beautiful mountain, Mount Wellington. When I look up the mountain, where does that help come from? My help comes from the Maker, from heaven and earth. Yeah. You see, most of the time, we are looking down. We have something this called phone. And I don't know why some people, when they are walking, they look down, and they don't know where they are going. Right? sometimes on the crossings, right? They look down, they keep on texting. They look down, right? I don't know why they are doing that. And the other thing is this. We got this iPad in our bedroom and we like use it in the bedroom, right? You know, we are looking down and then we get the pain in the back in the morning and the shoulders, and sometimes we need to ask people to go to the chiropractor. And because we have made the posture like we are looking down like that, and we are all the time looking down, look up. So I remember this lady, once he shared with me, he went to the doctor, right? He had this anxiety and the depression. And when he went to the doctor, and doctor knew that he was walking from his house to the railway station, it takes 15 minutes. So she has this anxiety and depression. And the doctor said, okay, let me give you a prescription. This is what I'm going to prescribe for you. Like, I know that you walk from your house to the railway station, it's going to take you 15 minutes. Like, then she said, yeah, that's right. So I want you to look at the rooftop of the houses for 4 weeks and come back to me. That's what I'm going to prescribe. So this lady, like, she started doing that, came back to the doctor, and doctor says, How are you feeling? And she said, the anxiety is gone, the depression is gone, this and that, everything is gone. And do you know what happened? Because while she was walking and looking up, her chest was open and she was started breathing easily. So what do you need to do? We need to look up. So the encouragement of the psalmist, as we heard it last week and even today, says, look at the Lord, who is my strength. Seek him always. So do you know why? I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. Isn't that good, right?
Yeah, it's good.
So repeat after me. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world. I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. So look up, number one. Number two, look in. Now the Bible says in the 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7, it says this: the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. People judge by outward appearance, but Lord looks at your heart. And the psalmist says this in Psalm 139, verse 1. You search me, Lord, and you know me. So when you are looking up to the mountain, who is the maker? God is the maker. But when you look in, why? Because when you look in, you examine your heart, you're examining your mind, and then you have to look in. When Dashi and I went to Sydney, this is for the wedding. And by the way, Jamie and Ollie, congratulations for your wedding. So myself and Dashi went to this Sydney, and she does the Tamil bridal dressing. This is more colorful. If you are aware of it, there's a lot of flowers, different kinds of flowers, so beautiful. And there's a lot of beautiful saris as well. So Dashi does the bridal dressing. She's a professional beautician, so she does that. So we were put up in this classy hotel, right? And when you say classy, like, you know, they have massive bathrooms, right? I always like to get into these classy hotels and, you know, try to take out the drawers and see what's there and try to go to the bar fridge and what's inside there and all that, right? And then we don't have a big mirror in our house. We had we got a tiny little mirror, right? I saw there was a big, nice mirror. I stand in front of him and I saw, my goodness. When I saw that, I said, like, okay, I am vertically challenged. It took a mirror to tell me that, right? And when I was walking to the bathroom again, I saw a small mirror, right? Then I pulled out the mirror and then I didn't realize it's a magnifying mirror, right? Then the lights turn up and I was looking and said, oh my goodness, what's happening to my nose? Oh my goodness, what's happened? What's going on here? Then when I look at it and I just shouted and then Dashi came running, I thought like I felt on the bathroom. I said, Dashi, I can't believe, look at my nose, I got blackheads. This small mountain blackheads. But you see, can you imagine God looking at his mirror? Right? When God looks into God's mirror, how does he see us? What does he see us in our hearts? What does he see in our mind? You know, most people today, they got sex on the brain. Right? That's the worst place to have it. Right? What's going on in my mind? What's going on in my heart? Right? I got a 3-year-old son. Right? It's my son, Tristan. He and I went to Mother's Day to buy a present for Dashi. I took him in the shopping and we walk into this store. As I walk into the store, and it says, in the big sign, it says, all breakages must be purchased. Don't touch. What I'm thinking, I'm taking Tristan into this massive store and the big sign on it, I should have run away with Tristan, right? So by the way, we said, literally we went inside and, you know, when the sign says, like, don't touch it, what we do, like, we try to touch it and feel it that we can do that sometimes. So I saw by the corner of my eye, so I have this 3-year-old. He doesn't care about what's going on outside, right? I saw corner of my eye, Tristan was touching more than what I touched. And I saw in my corner of my eyes with the slow motion, like, you know, the things are falling like, oh no! And it all fell. Within 2 seconds, the store manager came and stand in and show it to me, the sign, and say, all breakages must be purchased, do not touch. And I said to store manager, I didn't do it. He touched it. I didn't do it. Ask him. Why should I leave him and run away? And he will sort out that, because he did it. Right? Poor little Tristan. He can't do that. He needs daddy. He needs daddy to help him out. You see, no way you and I can pay for all our damages. Only our Heavenly Father, through Jesus, can pay for the damages. So what do? We look up, we look in, we look into our hearts, we look into our mind. No, my heart is not good. I need Jesus. My mind is not good. I need Jesus. So we need cleaning. You and I need to be cleansed. So look up, number one. Look in, number two. Number three, look back. Look back. Number one, look up. Number two, look in. Number three, look back. So we read in John 1:29, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You are all aware now, we all have damages, right? I got a news for you. Look back. Look back and see Jesus, what he did on the cross. Okay? He took the sins of the world. He took the sins of the world. He is the one and he is the Lamb of God. That's why John said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right? I love this analogy, and J. John Cannon, he narrates it very beautifully. There was an artist, a famous artist. He went back to his hometown where he was brought up and born. And he was looking around the stores. As he was looking around the stores, there was an antique shop. And on the antique shop, on the window, and he couldn't believe that's one of his masterpieces. Before he got famous. And his painting was years before he has done it. And when he looked at it, and the painting was scratched, the painting was dirty, the frame was broken. But he couldn't go there and ask the owner of the shop, this is my painting, give it back to me. He can't do that. So what he needs to do, he has to buy the painting. Once he buys the painting, he will redo the painting and makes the frame again look nice. That's what he can do. Jesus did that for us. Jesus died on the cross to purchase you and me, to clean us, to restore us, and to reframe us. That's why John the Baptist says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We were driving in Melbourne, in Geelong, and we saw there was a big white van, and on the sign it says, painters and decorators, established in 2019. I said, are you crazy? 2019? What sort of an experience you have? 2019? You are an idiot. How come somebody hire you when you establish your painting and decorations in 2019? They don't have much experience, right? But last week I was walking here and I saw the Coogan building in the store. This was the Coogan building, right? Do you know when this was established? 1786. You can steal that on the storage there, right? I think it's 1786. 1876. Yeah. So they know how to run a store, right? Because they have a lot of experience, right? And isn't that right? Christianity established 2,000 years ago, and we got billions of satisfied customers, right? Billions of satisfied customers before. We can see cross as something done for us, but we need to see the cross as something done by us. I will repeat. We can see the cross as something done for us, but we need to see the cross as something done by us. Our whole old history ends with the cross, but our new history begins with resurrection, or for us as the Pentecostals, on the Pentecost day. Isn't that right? So what we need to do, we need to look up. Number one, we need to look in, and we look back. Number four, we look around. We look around. Why? Because once you had your heart clean, once you had your mind washed, you need to look around. I remember when I was became a believer, a follower of Jesus, my friends abandoned me. You know what they tell me? You have been brainwashed. You have been brainwashed. I said to my friends, my brain has been washed. If you only knew what was inside my brain, you would be pleased. Right? So you see, once you are restored, once you are reframed, you empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We felt that, right? When the worship team led today in the morning, we felt that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here inside our hearts. That's what it says in the Matthew 5, 14 to 15. Jesus said, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light up a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Right? Of course, we look up, we look in, and we look back. Now, when we have encountered the truth, to look around now, you and I cannot help everybody. But we can help someone. And we look around. When we look around, we do what we can. Why? Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. They don't care how much we know. They want to know how much they actually care. Sorry. So some people create happiness wherever they go, and some people create happiness whenever they go. Right? Some people create happiness wherever they go. We got somebody in the house. Some people create happiness wherever they go, and some people create happiness whenever they go. But be the one people that create happiness wherever you go,
yeah, that's good,
rather than whenever you go.
Right, that's good.
You know, there are two things today why people aren't Christians. Number one, they have never met a Christian. Number two, they have met a Christian. you and I can make a difference in someone else's life. That's what we are going to do after the service. We are going out there to make a difference.
Yeah, that's right.
Make a difference. Serve the Lord. Serve and support the church to be the channel of generosity of God to others. Okay, so you look up, look in, look back, look around, and the fifth one is look ahead. Look ahead. Okay, number one, look up. Everyone, look. Number two, number three, number four, number five, look ahead. So in 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verses 11 to 13, it says this. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of the Lord and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destructions of heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. There is a hope that we have. We are a people of hope. Christians are people of hope because we know God got this. And we read in the last chapter in the book of Revelation, we know how it's going to end. So we got hope. You know, a lot of people today is like a hospital gown. Have you seen a hospital gown? You usually not as well as covered as you think you are. Right? When you wear a hospital gown, you think that it's been covered, but it's not. Sometimes people today, we are like that. But as Christians, we have hope. We have hope because somebody covered it for us. Right? I'll tell you honestly. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. But life with Christ is an endless hope. Yes, right. Life with Christ is a hopeless end. But life with Christ is an endless hope. Would you like to repeat that? Yeah. Yeah. Life without Christ is an endless hope. But life with Christ is endless hope. Right? Did I make it right? So life without Christ is hopeless end, but life with Christ is an endless hope. Right? So it says in the Job chapter 11 says, you will feel secure because there is hope. And Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, therefore, keep watch. Keep watch. You don't know the hour the Lord will come. And he will come. The Lord is coming. And Lord will fix it all. And in the meantime, what we need to do? We look up. And we are going to look in. And we are going to look back. And we are going to look around. I'm going to do that because we have an expectation that he's going to come and he's going to fix everything. Go as far as you can see and see how far you can go. Go as far as you can see and see how far you can go. That's good, right? So repeat after me. Go as far as you can see and see how far you can go. So look up. Go as far as you can see and see how far you can go. Look around. Go as far as you can see and how far you can go. When you go in faith of journey, you are taking another step forward. Right? So I want you to stand and bring the worship band in. So I can see in this building today, the people need to go as far as you can see and see as far how far you can go. Right? Sometimes in our life, as I said, we are missing the big picture. Sometimes we are preoccupied by the little things. And Jesus says today, come to me. Come to me. Go as far as you can see and see how far you can go in the journey with Jesus. Some needs the cleansing today. Some people need inside this building. They have a lot of anger inside. I met somebody last week. When he spoke to me, he had a lot of anger. I told him, you can go as far as you can and see how far you can go. But look up. Look up. There is a greater one. There's a greater one who can help you. Once you look up, then you can look in. He will take what is in. And he saw it. You saw it. He has what he has done on the cross. So look back. Look back. And look around and help someone. Look around and help someone. And then look forward. Glorify to God and praise in his name that he is going to fix everything. So have an expectation. Have an expectation. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes and welcome the Spirit of the Lord. Tell Jesus I'm going through inside my mind and inside my heart. And open the door of your hearts and break open your hearts and say to Jesus, I welcome you, Jesus, into my life today. I open my heart and see the things that you are going to do in my life. Welcome Jesus. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your hearts. It's like a lamp, light on the stand, and it will bright up, lighten up your life. If you are now have things in your life that you can't resolve it because you are trying to fix it, but give that to God. He will fix it because he did it. He showed it on the cross. His blood will purify you. Ask Holy Spirit to come in right now. Right now. Right now. Spirit of the Lord, come into my heart.
Love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you.
just been singing about the goodness of God. And I don't know where you're at right now this morning. I've got an idea where lots of people are at, but as Chris has reminded us that we can look at the outside of somebody, but we don't know what's going on the inside. And it's only God that actually can look right into somebody's life and see where we're at. The goodness of God is something that is all around because He is good. And so often in this world, we don't always experience goodness. I mean, I wouldn't have to go very far to say who's been let down by somebody, who's been betrayed somebody by somebody, who's been ripped off in a financial deal, who's experienced all sorts of things that are not good. Because we live in a world that is intrinsically broken. Sometimes the problem that we have is that we don't understand that in the brokenness there is a God who is above it and wants to bring goodness to you and your life and your situation regardless of your circumstances. And I believe I'm speaking to some people here this morning, and might be some people online, and your circumstances at the moment certainly don't feel good. And you feel betrayed, and you feel ripped off, and you feel isolated. A good God wants to meet you right here, right now, in this moment. And He actually wants to come and meet with you and speak life, and speak hope, and speak future, and bring a total newness to your life. The hard bit for us is to actually accept it, because there's nothing that you can do to pay God for that. There's nothing that you can do to earn it. You just actually have to be very humble and say, Lord, I acknowledge my brokenness. I acknowledge I'm part of a world that is intrinsically broken and not good. And I want to accept your forgiveness and your goodness and your hope and your love and your life and your restoration. And I want to accept a future that can never be taken away from me. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've walked through, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, there is nothing that can separate you from that love. And I believe that there are people here this morning or you're online, and the goodness of God just wants to come into your life and flood you and renew you and give you a hope and a purpose that you've never experienced before. And just right now, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer and open your heart up and ask for forgiveness, and a miracle can actually happen in that moment where the Spirit of God will come into contact with your spirit, and you can be made completely new in your spirit. And you will have a hope, you will have a future that nothing can be taken away. Nothing. There is no other religion. There is no amount of money. There is nothing else that can actually do that. So if you just bow your heads, and if you want to pray that prayer, it's a prayer where I'm just going to say, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are the Son of God. We acknowledge that you died for me. I am sorry that I have sinned. I'm sorry that I've been part of humanity's brokenness. But right now, I want to accept your love. I want you to make me completely new on the inside. I want you to give me a hope and a purpose and a future that can never be taken away. I need that security. From this day forward, I am going to follow you, Lord Jesus. And just can we bow our heads, close our eyes? And if you know that you haven't done that, if you haven't prayed a prayer like that, why don't you just slip your hand up and say, hey, Dave, that's me. I need to do that this morning. Just give me a wave and say, that's me. If you're online, please send us a direct message. Or perhaps you have prayed a prayer like that at some point, but you just know that you're far from God at the moment and you need to make that fresh commitment to Him. If that's you, just doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter how many times you've been in church, but if that's you, just give me a wave. Say, hey, Dave, I want to be included in that prayer. Just slip your hand up quickly, just while no one's looking around. We don't want to embarrass people. I just want to praise God. Praise God. We just want to pray. We want to pray right now, and we want you to be part of the family of God and receive a love and a hope and a future that can never be taken away. Is there anybody else, just before we pray, as somebody here makes a really important decision? Praise God. Praise God. Come on, let's. If you're online, join us in this. Don't switch off right now. Let's pray together, because we're standing with people making a really important decision this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. I open my heart to you and I invite you in. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Holy Spirit, flood me with your presence. Make me clean. Make me new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. If you gave us a wave, we'd just love to catch up with you when we close the service in a moment and just encourage you in that. If you're online, please don't just sort of walk away. Oh, the service is over. You know, there are moments. There are moments that we need to respond to God. And I believe, you know, this is a moment for people. So just make sure you do. Send us a message. We'd love to encourage you in that. We're going to close the service now. Online, we will see you very soon. But if you need to keep talking to us, we can do that through the message group. So stay with us in that sense. But I will let you go now online. If you need prayer at all, please come forward and we'll pray. Chris, do you want to just tell us what's happening?